Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, August 15th, 2017. Let's begin with some of today's headlines. The first headline reads, Illinois Republican Primary. Urbana Attorney Launches AG Bid. Harvard grad Erica Harold, 37, would face heavyweight Attorney General Lisa Madigan. This article is written by Tom Kachik and is based out of Urbana. Erica Harold, the Harvard Law School graduate, former Miss America, and Urbana native, will seek the Republican nomination for Illinois Attorney General in the primary election next March. If she's successful, Harold likely would face four-term incumbent Lisa Madigan, the daughter of Michael Madigan, the longtime head of the Democratic Party of Illinois and Speaker of the Illinois House. Since narrowly winning the post in 2002, Lisa Madigan has never received less than 60% of the general election vote. On June 30th, her campaign fund had $2.3 million on hand, although Harold is expected to receive generous financial support from Governor Bruce Rauner and his wealthy allies. Harold, a practicing attorney at Meyer Capel, that's M-E-Y-E-R-C-A-P-E-L in Champaign, made her announcement official this morning in a YouTube piece paid for by the Illinois Republican Party and Citizens for Erica Harold. And just as an FYI, Erica is spelled E-R-I-K-A, Harold, H-A-R-O-L-D. You deserve a state government that works for the people, not the powerful, Harold said in the video. Let's defeat the special interests and send the politicians packing. In Illinois today, she said it's nearly impossible to find opportunity and live out your dreams. Instead, career politicians have made it a nightmare for too many families in our state. I want to change that. Harold, 37, mentions that she was the target of bullying in high school and that it inspired her to, quote-unquote, to help those who need it most. Ending youth violence and bullying also was her main platform after she won the Miss America title in 2003. Harold, in 2014, challenged U.S. Representative Rodney Davis, a Republican from Taylorville, in the Republican primary in the 13th Congressional District. She lost 55% to 41%, but won in Champaign County. She is expected to make her first appearance as a candidate at Wednesday's Republican Day festivities at the Illinois State Fair. Harold lives in Urbana and serves on the Illinois Supreme Court Committee on Equality and as a commissioner on the Illinois Supreme Court Commission on Professionalism. She is a member of Trinity International University's Board of Regents and serves on the National Board of Directors of Prison Fellowship, the world's largest outreach to prisoners and their families, and is an advocate for criminal justice reform. The next headline reads, Champaign County Nursing Home. New managers claim cost saving 1 month into job. This article is written by Tom Kachik and is based out of Urbana. After 1 month on the job, the new managers of the Champaign County Nursing Home are boasting of thousands of dollars in cost savings and the elimination of non-compliance, quote-unquote, tags that had been imposed by the Illinois Department of Public Health. Part of the management team from Northfield-based SAC, or S-A-K, Management Services, LLC, outlined the changes Monday night at a meeting of the County Nursing Home Advisory Board. A lot of stuff has been going on, said Suzanne, S-U-Z-A-N-N-E, Koenig, K-O-E-N-I-G, the president and founder of the management company. Among them, the food service purveyor hired by the previous management company, Management Performance Associates of Suburban St. Louis, has been replaced at an estimated savings of $185,000 annually. Their dollar per patient food cost was $9.98. We are now at $5.25 per patient day, Koenig said. Same food, exactly the same menu, no changes except to improve the menu. The food service staff has been replaced and a new leader has been hired. Three consultants on the nursing home payroll have been eliminated at a savings of about $40,000 a month, she said. A request for proposals for medical supplies has been distributed, according to Koenig, and she said she anticipates savings of about 10% from a new supplier. 13 certified nursing assistants have been hired, a move that should reduce overtime costs. Five administrative positions, such as activity coordinator and adult day coordinator, have been eliminated. Further non-compliance issues have been resolved, she said. Champaign County Nursing Home has recently cleared all regulatory citations and is in full compliance, said Koenig. All four surveys that came in here recently We had public health in here last week, and we cleared everything with no deficiencies. The management company is still working to improve the nursing home's finances and census, currently averaging 133, about 55% of capacity, Koenig said. We've got a lot to prove in a short time, she said. The company was brought on in July to improve the facility's numbers so it could be sold to a private operator. Earlier this year, Champaign County voters gave the county board the authority to sell or transfer the property. Only the sale option remains remains now. Nursing home board member Kathy Emanuel said Monday that Provena and Carle Hospitals, which had been approached about establishing a not-for-profit corporation to run the nursing home, were not interested. Members of the nursing home board said they were encouraged by the SAC changes. I think we've got a long way to go, but they're certainly moving forward on some things. If we can get more people in here, that's going to help us all around financially, said County Board Member Josh Hartke, H-A-R-T-K-E, a Champaign Democrat. I think we are privileged to have such a competent professional administration running the nursing home at this point, said Rantoul Republican Jack Anderson. They've obviously gone after the low-hanging fruit, where they can make the greatest impact immediately to make sure the finances of the nursing home allow it to provide the services that we need. At the end of the day, it's about the residents and providing the best care. Also Monday, nursing home board members were informed that the facility's auxiliary and Friends of Champaign County Nursing Home Group will host an open house concert and ice cream social at the home from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Sunday, August 27th. Music will be provided by Almost A Trio, with ice cream provided by Red Bicycle Ice Cream in Urbana. The event is free and open to the public. The next headline reads, Volition Inc., Agents of Mayhem, Game a Battle Against Evil. This article is written by Joel Leiser, L-E-I-Z-E-R, and is based out of Champaign. Do you have what it takes to thwart the forces of evil? Champaign-based game developer Volition Inc. certainly hopes you'll at least give it a try. Its latest game, Agents of Mayhem, will be released today for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One game consoles and personal computers. It retails for $59.99. It's the studio's first release since 2015's Saints Row: Get Out of Hell, which was co-developed with Chicago's High Voltage Software, and its first new intellectual property since Volition's acquisition by Koch Media, K-O-C-H Media, and its Deep Silver publishing arm in early 2013. So basically, we were trying to figure out what sort of new projects we wanted to tackle as we were finishing up Saints Row 4 in 2013, said Anoop, that's A-N-O-O-P, Shekar, S-H-E-K-A-R, Volition's studio design director, who has been with the company since 1998 and has worked on most of its franchises. Obviously, potentially, another Saints title would have been on the table, and we talked about some of those things, but we also thought it was an opportunity, based on how Saints Row 4 ended, to try something new while still leveraging a lot of our strengths that we had from the past. They decided on Agents of Mayhem, a game that's part love letter to old Saturday morning cartoons like G.I. Joe, yet with a modern tone that's irreverent, violent, and often profane. Think Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy movies, which Shekar admits were among several influences. So we had the team, different people in the studio, suggest different ideas, and when we came up with this idea for a whole super agent game that just sort of stuck out to us as like, this is really cool. Then we were excited about it, and we hadn't really seen too many others do something like that. So we decided that would be the next thing we would tackle, he said, the Agents of Mayhem project design director. And the third-person shooter players control members of the multinational agency for hunting evil masterminds, who are trying to foil the machinations of Dr. Babylon and his League of Evil Gentlemen intent on obliterating nations, also known as Legion, L-E-G-I-O-N, the acronym. The 12 agents, not counting two others available as pre-order bonuses, all have unique personalities and abilities as well as different roles on the field of battle. The intent was to give players a team similar to the members of G.I. Joe, but instead of Duke and Shipwreck, you've got the narcissist Hollywood and gruff bruiser Hardtack. Each of the agents is essentially totally integrated into the story, where they will all have their own unique responses and approaches to the game, Shekar said. We're looking at it as the agents themselves carry the story. Collecting all the agents is sort of the big thing. But it wasn't easy having so many main characters. It was definitely challenging in the sense of the amount of stuff we had to write, Shekar said. But because we knew going into it that you could play almost any mission as any of the agents, we knew we needed to make it where the agents would respond to all the dialogue but have their own individual responses. So we wrote that into the process. One thing we did when we created all these characters was to make sure each agent would be at least somebody's favorite, he said. A unique mechanic, Agent Swap, is the main innovation in Agents of Mayhem. Whenever players leave their base, the ARK, A-R-K, on a mission, they'll assemble a team of three. Only one character is actually used at a time, but with the touch of a button, one of the others swaps in. The point is to take advantage of their various strengths and weaknesses in order to most efficiently rampage through the forces of Legion, L-E-G-I-O-N. It's a typical open-world Volition game, Shakar said, with lots of space to roam and vehicles you can commander from the street. It takes place in the city of Seoul, South Korea. It's our version of Seoul, so it's not like a one-to-one recreation, but it's basically something that will have recognizable elements for people. There's a lot more verticality to this world than our previous games, he said. But one thing you won't see are destructible environments like in Volition's Red Faction franchise, which was auctioned off separately from the studio when its previous publisher, THQ, went out of business. When we finished Saints Row 4 and were moving on to Agents of Mayhem, one of the things we ended up doing was rebuilding a lot of our tools and technology almost from scratch, Shakar said. We do have things we wanted to build, but with the limitations our old engine and technology had, we wanted to start fresh. That took a long time, which is one of the reasons it's taken a while for Agents of Mayhem to be finished. It wasn't just building the game, but everything that makes the game. And in the process of doing that, we had to make decisions about what we were going to support. Destruction technology is something that we'll always be a fan of and we're excited about. We may come back to it at some point in the future, but it's not in the technology as it exists now. As for what comes next for Volition, Shakar isn't saying, but we definitely have some ideas, quote unquote. Joel Lietzer, playing critic. Make a play of Agent Swaps. The News Gazette's Joel Lietzer, that's L-E-I-Z-E-R, briefly got his hands on Agents of Mayhem during a visit to Champaign-based developer Volition, Inc. and shares some of his takeaways from the game itself. Difficulty levels. You won't find the traditional easy, normal, hard, hardcore setup here. Instead, there are 15 overall difficulty levels to choose from, though 5 are locked away until you've played it through the game once. The game will suggest a difficulty based on the level of the agents you've chosen for the mission, though you can raise or lower that before it starts. At higher levels, you'll face tougher enemies, but can earn better rewards, while taking it easy means you'll acquire less stuff for upgrading your characters. And if you find a mission too hard to beat at the difficulty level you've chosen, you can lower it at any time. Upgrades and skins. Each of your agents is highly customizable using items and experience points you acquire by completing missions. That includes new weapons and abilities, plus cosmetic skins for characters, guns, and vehicles. You can also build new gear, Gremlin tech and Legion tech, including off-the-wall, limited ammo, weapons reminiscent of the toys in the Saints Row games. No killing enemies with a giant sex toy, though. Triple jump. A mainstay of most video games is the double jump, where your character can jump into the air, then push off the air to jump even higher. Volition is taking this physics-defying move one step further. Why swap? Switching between agents isn't just about using one character for melee and one for long range, or one for taking down shields and another for blasting through armor. It's about keeping them alive. A wounded agent begins to heal up when swapped out, so if they've taken some hits, it's a useful tactic to swap temporarily. A Saints Row spin-off. Project design director Anoop Shakar said, "When we came up with this idea for the Super Agent game, we kind of didn't want to have it still tied to Saints Row. But working on Gat Out of Hell, we had this idea Johnny Gat would be presented with this choice from God at the end after saving the world, and one of the choices that Gat is presented with is sort of recreating the universe in a different way. And so we were sort of taking the idea of Agents of Mayhem from that choice where Johnny Gat was a cop in Seoul, South Korea, and so when you see him in Agents of Mayhem, that's his role. Animated. A number of cutscenes in the game are animated just like Saturday morning cartoons, but they weren't drawn in-house. Volition hired Austin, Texas-based Powerhouse Animation, and it appears they did excellent work. And demo the game. Champaign-based Volition Inc. plans to celebrate the launch of Agents of Mayhem with a free event Friday in downtown Champaign that's open to the public. What? Play a demo of the game, hang out with developers, Visit participating restaurants for game-themed food and beverages and win prizes. When is this taking place? It's from 5 to 10 p.m. this Friday, August 18th. Also, where? It's at One Main Plaza outside Big Grove Tavern in Champaign. That's near their offices. The next headline reads, One-on-One. Davis hopes for ACA reforms. This article is written by Tom Kachik and is based out of Champaign. He wasn't part of the bipartisan negotiations to try to stabilize the Affordable Care Act, but U.S. Representative Roddy Davis said he supports the work of the Problem Solvers Caucus toward fixing Obamacare. The Taylorville Republican is a member of the bipartisan group, but he said he wasn't involved last month in its work on an Obamacare fix. I didn't sit down with those individuals who were leading that debate. I've talked to many of my colleagues on a regular basis about working together, Davis said Monday during an interview at his Champaign office. Remember, I was part of the group that actually put together the solution that we passed out of the House, and they couldn't do it in the Senate, Davis said. And the Democrats in the House at the time when we passed that didn't want to talk about a fix. Now they do, and I think it's a good sign. If this is the route we're going to take, good. I applaud their offer of assistance, and I offer my assistance at the same. He said he hopes repairing former President Obama's signature health care law can be done this year, adding, otherwise we're going to have millions more that aren't going to have access. Davis said it's unlikely that a single group like the Problem Solvers would determine the future of an ACA renovation. I'm happy to work with whomever in D.C., be it the Problem Solvers Caucus or anybody who wants to play a role in finding a bipartisan solution, he said. No need to fear North Korea. Davis also said that while he's worried about a military confrontation with North Korea, he isn't worried about it launching a nuclear attack on the United States. I'm worried about military confrontation, of course, because the leader of North Korea, I believe, is mentally unstable, Davis said of Kim Jong-un. But he isn't worried about a nuclear strike. I certainly don't want anybody to fear North Korea. The possibility of a missile coming from North Korea and hitting mainland United States is very few and far between, said Davis, who added that he has confidence in U.S. missile defense systems. And I've got faith that as we continue to invest more in our military readiness, we'll have more new technology to continue to face the threat of rogue countries like North Korea and eventually, I believe, Iran, possessing those deadly weapons without being able to shoot them down over safe areas. More electric cars on the way. Davis said he has spent much of his year working on an infrastructure bill as a member of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. Last month, he said he took part in an 8-day, 7-nation tour of Ireland, Ukraine, Jordan, Egypt, Israel, France, and Belgium to learn how they undertake and fund infrastructure projects. It's important to be able to find out what's working in other countries so that we don't continue to make mistakes, especially when it comes to infrastructure funding as we move forward in the country, he said. He said the United States has to find other funding sources besides the federal gas tax for the Highway Trust Fund. The gas tax is the only source of the federal Highway Trust Fund revenue, but at the same time, the federal government is saying burn less gas. If we have to burn less gas, we're going to be at the same problem we are today when we're using less fuel, he said. That issue will be exacerbated, he said, as more Americans drive electric cars. He predicted that over the next 5 to 6 years, you're going to see a lot more electric vehicles on the highways, and right now they pay nothing into the Highway Trust Fund. He said the fund has to be diversified with more revenue sources, including possibly leasing public properties, reforming the tax code, and bringing electric vehicles into the mix. More electric vehicles also will mean more demand for electricity, he said. If we're moving toward more electric vehicles and we look at an all-of-the-above approach, we ought to be able to come up with base-load generators that still don't raise the price for Americans who are on fixed incomes, he said. High-speed rail here? Possibly. Davis also said he still believes that a high-speed rail line through Champaign-Urbana is possible. I don't see why not. But if the locals are in support of it and a good vision has been put forth, why take it off the table? Why not look at it long-term, he said. Also Monday, the congressman accepted a birthday cake from members of the Illinois Alliance of Retired Americans who said they were marking the 82nd anniversary of Social Security. They said they wanted to urge him to protect Social Security and Medicare. Medicare is actually on a path to insolvency right now, Davis said. What we've got to do is make sure we save it for every generation. And now let's take a look at our weather forecast over the next few days. This is provided to us by Greg Soulge, S-O-U-L-J-E, on the weather front. That's his column. So today, the temperature will be 86. Partly sunny, a shower and thunderstorm in spots before noon, more so in the afternoon. Overnight, an isolated shower and thunderstorm in spots. Wednesday, the high will be 84, the low will be 67. Variable cloudiness, humid, a shower and thunderstorm in spots. Overnight, humid, occasional showers and thunderstorms. Thursday, the high will be 85, the low will be 71. Partly sunny and humid, showers and thunderstorms in spots before noon, more so late. Friday, the high is 82, the low is 66, it will be partly cloudy. Saturday, the high is 83, the low is 63. Increasing clouds, an isolated shower and thunderstorm in spots before noon. And now let's look at top of the morning. Something to get you going today, courtesy of Jim Rosso. I'd like to thank the 352 high school students for visiting our downtown Champaign office on Sunday. They stopped by in uniform to have their photo taken for our popular feature, Faces of the Fall, which will run daily in our sports section beginning August 28th. Galleries separated by sport also will be available for viewing at newsgazette.com. We started our Faces series in 2013, and it continues to grow in popularity. Sunday's turnout, starting with Thomas Savage of Bismarck Henning, Rossville Alvin, around 11:30 a.m., and ending with St. Thomas More's Lucas Tay, T-A-Y, around 5 p.m., was our largest yet. For an inside look at how it played out, check out our high school Twitter account, which is handle NG Preps. And our online audience, what was trending last week at newsgazette.com, which in a 7-day period ending Sunday saw 1,148,797 page views. The three top stories were 1, Tom's hashtag mailbag for August 11th, 2017. 2, Google engineer fired over memo is a UI grad, bronze tablet scholar. And 3, Presence Medical Centers being sold to OSF Healthcare. The three top sports stories were 1, Tate, I've got a fresh take on college basketball. 2, Asmussen, Mark Smith's the man. And 3, Illini cancel Friday practice. The three top videos were 1, Prep Football 2017, preseason top 10. 2, Illini Training Camp 2017, I've wanted to compete. 3, Illini Training Camp 2017, starting to look like a team. The three top photo galleries were 1, Georgetown Fair. 2, Governor Bruce Rauner signs SB8. 3, UI Football Camp of 2017, day 7. And the top podcasts, the top three were 1, Tate Lines, Conversation with Mike White. 2, Saturday Sports Talk, 8-12-17, and 3, News Gazette Sports Page, 8-7-17. And now let's look at our history, area history. In 1917, two new airplanes of the standard type, equipped with Hall Scott motors, have arrived at the University of Illinois and will be used in the instruction work at the ground school. The machines are fully equipped and in shape for flying, although no flying will be done with them. In 1967, three members of a tragedy-flogged Seidel family burned to death Monday after a gas tank exploded following a 5-car collision at Routes 1 and 17 near Kankakee. Killed were Mrs. Ruby Hammond, that's H-A-M-M-A-N, her daughter, Miss Juanita Hammond Wheat, and her 3-year-old daughter. State police said that both Mrs. Hammond's and Mrs. Wheat's husbands had been killed in separate auto accidents. In 2002, restoring the clock and bell tower at the Champaign County Courthouse to how it looked a century ago won't come cheap. A citizens' committee appointed by the Champaign County Board learned this week that complete restoration of the tower, which would add 45 feet of height, would cost just under $1.8 million. International history, today's highlight. On August 15, 1947, India became independent after some 200 years of British rule. On this date, in 1057. Macbeth, King of Scots, was killed in battle by Malcolm, the eldest son of King Duncan, whom Macbeth had slain. In 1939, the MGM musical The Wizard of Oz opened at the Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood, and in 1969, the Woodstock Music and Art Fair opened in upstate New York. The next headline reads, University of Illinois, branding changes put all eyes on Block I. This article is written by Julie Wirth and is based out of Champaign-Urbana. Hail to the deep orange and navy blue and the Block I. The University of Illinois announced Monday that it will return to a single logo, the orange Block I, still used by Illinois Athletics, as it moves to unify its branding. The school will scrap the Column I logo used by academic and administrative units since 1997 on everything from letterhead to parking signs. The changes are part of a branding campaign launched 2 years ago in preparation for a massive fundraising campaign set to kick off in October. The campus is also officially adopting the navy and orange already used by the Division of Intercollegiate Athletics as the official school colors, moving away from a slightly yellow-over orange. Athletics has made the switch 3 years ago, or had made the switch 3 years ago, during its own rebranding effort with Nike, when it updated team uniforms and created a new shield as a secondary sports logo. The shield will continue to be used by athletics. Chancellor Robert Jones said having more than one primary campus logo caused needless confusion for the public. Every day at Illinois, we impact the lives of thousands and thousands of people across the state and the nation and around the world, he said Monday. It's important that no matter what part of the university someone interacts with, they still know they've tapped into one of the world's greatest universities. Having one logo and one set of colors ensures that we are sending one message. This is the first step in our effort to tell our story in a more unified and strategic way, Jones said. The university's logo, for most of its history, the block I, was first mentioned in campus archives in 1892. It has global recognition and will strengthen the university brand, said Robin Kaler, Associate Chancellor for Public Affairs. The sans serif typeface in the full Illinois logo will also be modernized to be more consistent with the block I and project a strong image, Kaler said. The block I is steeped in Illinois tradition and it represents the qualities that define Illinois. We are bold, hardworking, accessible, and innovative, Jones said. Some fans complained that the new Illini orange looks too red. Kaler said there's not much difference and called it a very nice orange, quote unquote. The important thing to remember is we are strong when we speak with one voice, she said Monday. When we reach out to an audience using any variety of oranges and blues or other colors and variations on our logo, we're diminishing the opportunity to say to stakeholders, no matter how they encounter the institution, that they've touched the same place. So you may have an individual who personally doesn't care for a certain shade of a color, but that's not the point, Kaler said. The point is our students of over 100 years said they wanted our colors to be orange and blue. We choose one shade of orange and one shade of blue, and it builds our brand consistently. Two shades of gray will also be used as secondary colors like those on the Illini uniforms honoring football legend Red Grange. Colleges and administrative units will begin moving to the logo and colors immediately for recruiting, fundraising, and other materials, but the transition is expected to last several months, the university said. Units will use an existing printed materials, will use up existing printed materials with the old logos first. In 2015, the campus hired Edelman, E-D-E-L-M-A-N, public relations consultants for $550,000 to develop a unified branding plan. Amid budget pressures and faculty objections to the no-bid contract, which was paid by the U of I Foundation, the campus later terminated the deal with Edelman after paying more than $300,000 for the effort. An internal marketing advisory council then coordinated the effort. The council worked with deans, department heads, faculty, and staff across campus to refine the proposed design, address any concerns, and outline a timeline for the transition. Officials argued that the right branding is important to motivate funders and donors, recruit top faculty and students in a competitive environment, and present a coherent image to taxpayers and legislators. Previous branding initiatives over the years had streamlined marketing efforts and consolidated the number of logos at the U of I, once at more than 800, but different parts of campus still use their own. Toward that end, the U of I spent 2 years in the 1990s developing the column I, a half-letter, half-Ionian column designed to evoke the school's history and future. It was inspired by the many neoclassical columns across campus from buildings on the quad to Memorial Stadium. The campus had previously used the university seal on its stationery, but that was designated as a logo for the U of I system. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, August 15th, 2017. We'll resume shortly with part two of the News Gazette, so stay tuned. We thank you very much for listening. We hope you have a wonderful day.